We pointed out that Jonah lived and worked or prophesied or preached during the time of Jeroboam the second. Jeroboam the second was one of the kings of Israel. And he lived and reigned in about 790 to 749 years before Jesus Christ, B.C. Jonah, the prophet, was sent on a mission of mercy to warn the Ninevite. The entire nation that their wickedness, their sinfulness had reached, should I say, an unbearable point before the Almighty God. And that the Almighty God was about to take drastic action against this Gentile nation. Remember, at this time, the one nation that God had chosen, some 500-600 years before this, had chosen the Israelite to be his people, that one nation. But that does not mean that the Almighty God had forgotten about the rest of the people. God still at that time reigned in the kingdom of men. So he sent Jonah to Nineveh, which was the capital of Syria. Jonah ran away. That indicates that, like many of us, we don't understand God. Jonah didn't understand that you cannot run away from God. Human being, both godly and the ungodly, have for various reasons tried over and over down through the centuries or decades to run away or to escape or to flee from the all searching eyes of the Almighty God. Men have tried, and men are still trying. Do you know that the reason why some men and women don't come to church is because they know they're going to hear about God, and they know I hear about God. So you invite them to church, they believe there is a God, but you know, I'm going to talk about God, and we know I hear about him. There are various ways that men and women down through the ages have thought to escape God, run from God. You remember that Adam and Eve tried to run from God? Because of guilt, and that is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 11. Quick, brother. Just running through these as illustration that men and women from the beginning have tried to flee, to run, to escape God. It is futile. Let us hear the passage in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. Quick.
And they heard the voice.
And they heard, they who? Adam and Eve.
The voice of the Lord God.
They heard the voice of the Lord God.
Walking in the garden. In the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife.
And Adam and his wife
hid themselves.
You cannot hide from God. And as late as it is in history at this point, men and women, Christian and non-Christian, are still hiding from God. Read a little more, brother.
Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God.
You can't. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Read on.
Amongst the trees of the garden.
And look where they might hide. Oh my God. And many of us are still as ignorant. Read a little further.
And the Lord God called unto Adam.
And God called unto Adam.
And said unto him.
And said unto him.
Where art thou?
When God asked where he was, it's not that he was unknown with his position. No, God knew exactly where he was. But the Almighty God wanted him to think what he was doing and how futile it was. Where are you?
And he said, I heard thy voice.
I heard thy voice.
In the garden.
In the garden.
And I was afraid.
I was afraid, rightly so.
Because I was naked.
Because I was naked.
And I hid myself.
And I hid myself. God going to ask him another question. Read on.
And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked?
Oh, you know you were naked. In other words, you know, they have been naked, it seems, all along. But all on a sudden sin caused them to realize that they were naked. You can't hide from God. May we run to another example? Cain felt driven away, and again, it is because of guilt. Now, we are not dealing with Adam and Eve anymore. We are dealing now with their children, or at least their son. The same business of humanity hiding from God. Because remember, the whole story of Jonah is where Jonah ignorantly felt he could hide from God. Cain felt he could. Chapter 4, same Genesis, verse 11 through 12. Let us hear it. Quick, brother.
And now art thou cursed from the earth. Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood.
Y'all get that? God is speaking to Cain. And you are cursed from the earth. The earth that received the blood of your brother Cain. Read.
From thy hand.
Yes.
When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength.
As of that day, the earth will no more yield what it should yield. Yes, the yam you plant, the sweet potato, the vegetable you plant, it's not producing what it could have because of this first murder. That's right. Read on, brother.
A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth.
Wait. You get it? Who is a fugitive? That is a person who is always on the run. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be. Are we all there? Read on.
And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear.
That's usually what sin does. That's usually what sin does. My punishment is greater than I can bear. I would normally have asked you to go from 13 through 15, Brother Webb, but because time, what I'm just showing is again, this is another person in the person of Cain who felt driven away from God because of sin and guilt. But not only do we have Adam and Eve who felt they could run away from God. Not only do we have Cain who felt he could run from God. Jacob, from whom the Israelites got their national name, Israelite. Jacob also felt the need to and tried to run away because of fear and guilt. He would have been the third character. Genesis 27, 41 through 43. Let us hear it quick, brother. Genesis 27, verse 41 through 43.
And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Esau and Jacob, they were brothers. But Esau, who felt his brother deceive him of the birthright, hated his brother. Read, brother.
And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
He said, Esau, who felt the pride, said, the days of mourning, it's like they said 20 days for mourning, and the Esau said, me are dead for the 20 days to finish, for me to kill my brother. Yes, days of mourning coming to an end, then I will deal with him. Read, brother.
And these words of Esau, her eldest son, mm-hmm. were told to Rebekah.
Uh-huh.
And she sent and called Jacob her younger son.
From time to time, I encourage you, mothers and fathers, be careful how partial you are to one child as against the other. Truly. It usually come back to aunt, the home, the brother and sister and sister, brother and brother. That's right. Because the mother heard, and let's assume that she had to take some step to throw off this murder. But naturally, she didn't take the right step. Read on, brother.
And she sent and called Jacob her younger son and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee.
Yes, as one mother telling the other one, your brother planned to kill you, no, my son. So run away. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the emphasis here, you cannot escape God. And as I've said from time to time, over the ages, Christian and non-Christian have in some form or the other felt they could hide from God. But what I like about Jacob is found in chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Let us hear chapter 28, verse 7. Quick, brother.
Verse 7.
Yes.
And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paran Damn.
That's right. That is when he was running away from home at the advice of his mother and father. Now step down to verse 16 and 17.
And Jacob awaked out of his sleep.
Remember, he was running to his uncle, his mother's brother, running away from the consequence of robbing his brother of his birthright. Read.
And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.
I love that. You know, because that's the way it is. A lot of time, God is at a particular place in a special way, and many of us are not mindful of it. The Lord, this is when he was running away. He was tired, stopped to take a nap, and got a dream, and realized that God was there. But I was running away from home. God is there. Yes! And he said, I knew it not. It's important that through God's word, we understand where God is and where he isn't. Many men and women don't know where God is and isn't. But through God's word, what is the point? Yes, over the centuries, over the decades, men and women have tried to run from God. Jonah learned bitterly that you cannot run from God. Wait. There's something else there Jonah learned. Jonah learned bitterly that a change of place cannot take us out of God's territory. A change of place, a change of geographical location does not remove one from God's presence. Jonah learned that, and he learned that bitterly. In the lesson of Jonah, we are told, what are we told, Brother Mitchell? Not only how Jonah fled, or thought he was fleeing from God, but we are told also, as I said, not only how Jonah fled, but how the Almighty God followed him. But wait. But not only how Jonah fled, how God followed him, but how God chastised him. But not only that, how he fled. We are told how God followed him, how God chastised him. But we are told how God did not forsake Jonah. That's right. He fled. God's inspiration and revelation tell us how God was there all along. We are told how God chastised him. That is the punishment that comes with his fleeing from God. But encouragingly, we are also given direction in respect to how the Almighty God did not forsake Jonah. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. In that passage, you are going to find a probing question. Read chapter 1, verse 20.
Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord.
You see, this. Wait. You must remember that this, the sailing crew, they were men of idolatry. They were idol worshippers. As we will see in some of the verses there, probably verse 12, 13, that they were idol worshippers. But Jonah had reached the point where he told them, and he was honest. He told them, look here, I'm running away from God. Now, Jonah, had he a little more knowledge, he would be ashamed to divulge that information, because that would indicate that, you know, Jonah, you don't know the God where you are dealing with. That's right. But he told them, and the question they asked, very probing question, why have you done this? That is, to just imagine that you can run from God is unthinkable. That's right. But then we see also the ignorance on the part of the sailing crew. Look at verse 13 through verse 14.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought.
As I said last week, that the sailor, I mean, you have to see with them. And a lot of times when you hear ungodly men or men who don't know the truth say certain things, you sympathize because they don't know the truth. And when men and women who don't study God's word to know the truth, be it people who come to church or people who doesn't, there are times when we have to be sympathetic. These men did not know God. They were idol worshippers. Watch here. Of course, they did not know that the roughness of the sea was from God. And they are trying to outrun God. That's idiocy. You know, trying to reach shore before God. At whatever time they reach shore, God would be there waiting on them. Truly. You cannot outrun God. That's ignorance. Through 14.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against
them. You could not. That shows how ignorant they were. Read a little further.
Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life."
May I? Desperation and fear often make us look upward. When we become desperate and when fear comes our way, when all the things by which we are surrounded seems helpless, for many men and women, that's the only time they really learn to look to the Almighty God. And this is what happened here. In fact, it was this fear that prior in the very chapter indicate that each prayed to his God. There were multiplicity of divinity among them. But now they turn to Jonah's God. And that was a new stage of spiritual progress which they reached. But the sea was still rough because God's goal and objective had not yet been achieved. You know, this business about in time of distress and fear, Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28, touch on this. Quick. Give me a little of that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28.
Because I have called. And ye refuse.
And you refuse.
I have stretched
out. Wait. This is talking about us and God, you know. Stop refusing when God calls. What you mean, Brother Mitchell? You must answer to God's call. Truly. Because there's a time you are going to call on him and he will not respond to you. Wait. Brother Mitchell, that found in the Bible? Yes, the brother is reading from Proverbs 1, verse 24 through 28. That's right. I'm writing them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Read, brother.
Because I have called.
Because I have called.
And ye refuse.
And you refuse. That is, God called you by the preaching of the gospel, calling you to repentance, calling you to submit your life to God, and you go about your business as if you couldn't care a bit about what God wants you to do. I have called and you refuse.
I have stretched out my hand.
God in love, grace, and mercy stretch out his arm.
And no man regarded
it. And you did not regard it.
But ye have set at naught.
You have set at naught God's call, God's grace, God's mercy.
All my counsel.
Uh-huh.
And would none of my reproof.
Uh-huh.
I will also laugh at your calamity.
Now notice, it's not that I will laugh if your calamity comes. Read that little part again.
I also will laugh at your calamity.
I will laugh at it. That means it's going to come. Are we all there? Your calamity going to come. And the Almighty God will not respond. Because he has called you so many times through message like this. And you walk up, read a little more.
I will mock.
I will mock.
When your fear cometh.
When your fear cometh.
When your fear cometh.
When your fear cometh.
As desolation.
As desolation.
And your destruction cometh.
And your destruction cometh.
As a whirlwind.
As a whirlwind.
When distress and anguish.
When distress and anguish.
Cometh upon you.
Cometh upon you.
Then shall they call upon me.
Then shall they call upon me. Sooner or later, men and women who have turned their backs on God oftentimes, sooner or later, they are going to realize that you cannot do without God. No man can. Yes, you can ignore God for a time in a foolish way, but you need God. And this is what we discover. These men, the sailor who did not know God, they prayed to their God, but there was nothing done. Finally, they realized that turning to Jonah's God was the right thing. But here is something else we learn. Let me hear verse 15 through 17. Quick, brother. Any of you, brother. Chapter 1. Stay at the book of Jonah, because most of the passage we want going to be coming from there.
So they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea.
Wait. Here's another thing, lest we pass over this and don't notice it. The men on the ship, the sailors, etc., while they were ungodly men, they were not just outrightly wicked men. They did not want to throw Jonah over in the sea. Mm-hmm. It was not something they took joy in doing. I wish we have time to go more, to look into this. So it was reluctantly that they threw Jonah. Jonah asked them, throw us in the sea. Throw me in the sea. The danger you face is as a result of my disobeying God. So throw me in the sea. Let me drown. And they finally did. Read, brother.
So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging.
the wicked thing, that which appears wicked to them, create a sort of contradiction. No sooner they throw Jonah in the sea calmed down instantly. Wait, sea, wave, and thing do not calm down instantly. It usually takes minutes for that calmness. But in this case, the sea calmed down instantly. Read, brother.
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly.
Now you have a right to fear God, because it's demonstrated to them now that God, Jonah's God, is to be feared. He is the true God. Oh, my God. What verse is that, brother?
We're at 16.
Read on now.
And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord.
Now, you notice all the right steps they're taking now. They offered a sacrifice to the Almighty God. Read on.
And made vows.
And they made vows.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish.
Wait. May I remember? We are looking on here among other things. Are you there? That genuine repentance avert catastrophe and disaster. That's the point at which we are. That genuine repentance avert, throw off, put a brake on catastrophe and disaster. Before we delve more into that, we must be mindful that the Almighty God has unpleasant and fearful ways to bring you to knowledge of Him and to help you to see that you need Him. The Almighty God has unpleasant and fearful ways to bring you to knowledge of Him and to let you realize that you need the Almighty God. God has thousands of options. Mm-hmm. And what we are reading here is only a small representation of the means that God had. No sooner they took the man up, which they were reluctant. They didn't want to throw him in the sea. They knew he was done for now. No sooner the sea became calm. That helped. In fact, that had the right effect on them. It helped them to fear God even more. Are we all there? Let us, brothers and sisters, you had read verse 16. Let me hear chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying,
Don't give me that yet, brother. Let me hear verse 10 again.
Then were the men exceedingly afraid,
mm-hmm.
and said unto him, why hast thou done this?
Mm-hmm.
For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them.
At this point, we must be mindful that the power and hold, chapter 2:17, the power and ability of God is awesome. We must ever be mindful of that. Chapter 2, verse 17. Jonah chapter 2, verse 17.
Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, And my prayer came unto thee in thy holy temple.
Let me hear chapter 2, verse 1. I want when the fish.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God.
That is chapter 2, verse
1.
1. That's right. Then Jonah prayed
unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly.
Where from where?
The fish's belly.
Out of the fish belly.
And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I.
Before we move on, as we are coming down to wrapping up, it's important that we don't just slide over this. I've said just now that the power and the ability of the Almighty God is awesome. Be mindful that the fish that swallowed Jonah here was not instantly made. From all indication, it is not that God just make a fish. This fish probably was all over the sea. But what God did was the Almighty God so ordered the fish. Brother Mitchell, are you sure you are telling right? God ordered the fish? Yes. The Almighty God had so ordered or directed the fish that it should be at this particular spot, at this particular time, when Jonah was thrown over in the sea, and that the fish should swallow Jonah, and that he should be in the fish belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And armed and alive and protected. No man, no woman can stay in a fish belly for any length of time before the digestive process started. Well, you mean the digestive process, Brother Mitchell? Once that fish swallow you, the acid and other thing in that animal belly going to start working on you. But God in his power could have kept Jonah well, kicking, and alive for 3 days and 3 nights. Be mindful that Jonah 3 days and 3 nights was representative of Christ in the tomb. Be mindful too that any part of the day would be considered the whole day. That's right. It does not necessarily mean 3 24-hour day. 1 hour in the day would be, or 2 hours in the day would be considered a day. I just throw that out, and if you have question on it, I can elaborate at another time. But what we notice is that he was alive, he was unarmed. Not only that, very important, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. From all of this experience, Jonah could now go on to Nineveh with more faith, with more confidence, because Jonah has now been educated in reference to the power and the ability of the Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
Previously, Jonah did not know God as he now get to know God. He sees what God is able to do. ladies and gentlemen. Let us now run to chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Quick.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
Saying,
say,
arise,
get up,
go unto Nineveh.
Go to Nineveh.
That great city.
That great city.
And preach unto
you. You know why it says the second time. The first time Jonah ran away. Now the Almighty God, in a very frightening way, re-educate Jonah. Add to Jonah's faith. Add to Jonah's knowledge of God. So that Jonah could now go to Nineveh with God's message and with confidence. Read, brother.
And preach unto it.
And preach unto the city.
The preaching that I bid thee.
Wait, notice that. You must preach the preaching that I told you to preach. This is important. When the Almighty God gives us direction in his word, God tells us what to preach. And we must always preach God's what. When we tell you that you must be baptized to be saved, it's because God has so ordered us. That's right. Preach the preaching that I bid you preach. Read.
End of verse 2.
End of verse 2. Ladies and gentlemen, read on a little, just a little further, brother. In fact, step down to verse 5, 4 and 5 instead.
And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown.
That is just 1 month and 10 days. And God going to do with you what he done to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be a city of ashes. Read on, brother.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
Isn't that wonderful? The power and the importance of obedience. Obedience moves God. When you respond to God's word, in obedience, in humility, you can move heaven. That's what we see here. The tragedy here is that Jonah, one, did not expect this and he did not want that. So that tells me that those of us who preach, we must understand the message that God gives us to preach. Jonah did not expect the people to repent. That's why. And Jonah did not want the people to repent. Wait, I'm about finishing the lesson, but can I just remind you here? Nineveh were Syria. They were Syrians. The Assyrians. They were Gentiles. But they were the dominant power close to Israel at this time. And the Syrian had sort of conquered almost all the other nations. And only it's like only Israel and one or two more had been left. So Jonah, being an Israelite, was afraid that sooner or later, and most likely sooner, the Syrian would overrun the Israelite. Jonah didn't want that. So this is why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. This is why he didn't want them to repent. But the man's preaching was effective. Wait, back up, Brother Mitchell. God's word is powerful. And reach their heart. The very king asked them to show sign of repentance. But you know what? Jonah got mad with God and quarreled on God. Oh, Lord. That's why I said this book need quite a few sermons, but I have to finish now anyway. Yes, he got mad with God and quarreled on God. God, you make me look bad. Me tell them that in 40 days what and what would happen. And look, you saved them. God should have said, Jonah, your preaching was effective. But he didn't want effective preaching. He wanted God to kill them off. Do you know that even today you hear about hell, and there is a hell. There is a hell which stands for the holiness and the justice of God. But God doesn't want any man or woman to go to hell. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should do what? Come to repentance. It is God's will that when men and women hear that they have sinned against God and that Jesus Christ died for them, that they would respond to God's message, as they did to Jonah's message. But Jonah didn't want them to repent. So Jonah got mad and quarreled with God. In fact, so much so that he said he wanted to die. And he went to a place right almost in the sun, hot. Whereas country people would say the sun would strike him. That's what he wanted. He wanted to die. You know why he wanted to die? Because the people repent. Him no want that. Because no wants to repent. The merciful, gracious, loving God will show mercy. The man did not even understand his own preaching. You know what God did? God cast a gourd. Many of you don't know gourd. Keep water cool. My grandfather used to carry a bush to carry his water. But the Almighty God caused a gourd tree to come up overnight and create shelter for Jonah. Even when he's mad with God, vexed with God, because God showed mercy, God was still merciful to him. What a great God. So God caused a gourd tree to come up. A gourd tree takes months or years to grow up and whatever. But this one came up overnight and created shelter for Jonah. And by the morning, the gourd tree withered up. And that also gave Jonah reason again to quarrel with God. But God was teaching him a lesson. God pointed out that the gourd tree, it's just a plant, it's just a tree. And you got mad with me because I brought it up in one night and by the following day I caused it to wither. The Almighty God said, consider the thousands of infants in the city that I show mercy to. What a great God. Christ wants to show mercy to you today. But you must respond in repentance. Don't wait until the time comes when you call upon him but he's not there. I end with this, encouraging you to notice God's choice. God used the natural agency of the fish. But in using the natural agency of the fish, to take Jonah where he was to be taken, God employed his supernatural power in preserving Jonah's life in the fish belly. That is, you notice how God's work? That the fish is a natural thing. There is nothing miracle about a fish. But there is something miracle about that fish. That man being alive in the fish belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And God employed both. God employed the fish as a natural agent, and God employed his own power in keeping Jonah alive for 3 days and 3 nights. Here's another thing you learn as we end the lesson. It is rightly said that the penitent wicked shall condemn the nominal professors. That is, a man or a woman who is totally ungodly and wicked, when that person becomes penitent and repentant, that person in many cases end up being a better child of God than the child of God who have been coming to church all these weeks, months, and years, but they are Christian only in their mouth. And this is why the penitent wicked shall condemn the nominal professor. The person who is only a Christian in mouth will not stand before God, while the person who genuinely repents will stand before God. Will you genuinely turn from your sin and your disobedience today? You can, you know. You know why you should? Because Jesus Christ is available now. Wait, you don't know if he will be available tomorrow for you or for me. But you know that he is available right now. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ wants to forgive you for all your past sins, and Christ wants to start with you anew today. Come now. Come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believing that you must repent of your sin for him to have you where he wants you, for you to confess his name, and for you to get baptized so that he can get rid of your sin. As we stand, Jesus Christ comes.